I'm excited. Are you guys excited to hear from Jesus? I really do believe and hope, and my confidence is that you hear from Jesus today, not Matthew. I'm the vessel, I'm the mouthpiece, but it's him you need. And it's his word you need this morning. Okay, I'm going to just dive right into it with a story. I will just give you a heads up, a confessional of sorts. So a few weeks ago, just before my vacation, I'm at Winco. Anyone shop at Winco here? Don't you love how your dollar still goes a far way at Winco? I am thankful for Winco. So I'm at Winco, and I do a fair amount of grocery shopping the last couple of years. Tessa did it for like the first three-fourths of our marriage, and lately she's been teaching. I've enjoyed doing grocery shopping because I get to choose what we actually buy. Well, come on, how many husbands can give an amen to that? Yeah. Now, normally I bring Raul and or Ari, but this time I was alone, and it was different grocery shopping. I was in vacation mode. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's different than normal, like, okay, watching the budget, you know, da-da-da-da. This is like, we have extra money. I've saved up for this. I'm going to get whatever I want. I know a lot of you this summer have or will be in that mode, maybe even this afternoon. So after I got all my groceries, I started veering towards the the registers. And if you guys know Winco there in Nampa, there's an aisle, there's a bread aisle, but right behind that, or actually two aisles behind that, is where they have alcohol. Yeah, I'm going to go there. And, you know, it's summertime. Just now, a little backstory is I gave up alcohol 5-6 years ago. It's something that, for me, becomes a problem. So I just want to make this disclaimer. Alcohol, I believe people can have a glass of wine with their dinner and have freedom in that. I know of at least a few of you here that you do that, and you have total freedom in Jesus Christ, okay? So I just want to say that. Amen, right? So I don't want my conviction to be yours. But I'm in vacation mode. For me, I know drinking is an idolatry. That's where it leads. And I said, you know, I'm just going to get non-alcoholic beer. You know, there's like 0.5%. I'd have to drink like 50 to get drunk, okay? And I'd probably die of, you know, consumption of just liquids at that point. So how many of you rationalize things in your head? It's not that big of a deal. It's 0.5%. And I like the taste, and we're going to be on the beach, and it's non-alcoholic beer. Come on. It's prude. It's conservative. So I grabbed two small cases of non-alcoholic beer. I thought, man, these are going to taste great. Put them in my cart, and I have that hesitation, not super strong, but it's there, and I'm going, and I'm about to check out, and I'm just kind of sitting there, like, looking around, you know, scanning, and coming right in front of the bread was none other than our own Griselda Snell. Now, a lot of you are laughing, because I could have named a lot of people, but Griselda has been, she's not here this morning. She's at home with sick kids. So Griselda, if you're on live stream, I love you and bless you. I haven't told you this yet. Thank you for being a godly woman. And Griselda has represented to me the prophetic heart of God. Some of my most powerful prophecies that I value have come out of that woman. I mean, I can just right now recite. I mean, they've changed my life. She's a woman who's just pulled me aside. A lot of people don't even know this. She'll pull me aside over the last 10 years and say, I saw you in my dream. This is what I saw. I had a vision. So when I see her, I'm like, oh my goodness. Of anyone other than Pastor Lynn. Like Pastor Lynn, I'd be like, I'm done. Okay. She's ultra time. I'd be on my knees, right? But other than Pastor Lynn, which she doesn't shop at Winco probably, it was Griselda. Now, how many know God is faithful? Has that been a theme this morning? He is faithful. Can we get a shout out to God for how faithful he is? You know, God was faithful to have her there. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, when we're tempted, who here is tempted? Raise your hand. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. I want you to say, God is faithful. And this isn't in the lovey-dovey stuff. This is in the midst of temptation, when you're in the fire, Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape? Griselda was my way of escape. Now God was, through a godly woman, that you may be able to bear it. I believe if this word is true, which I'm saying if it is true, every temptation you've ever had, there's been a way of escape. Why? Because the nature of God. He's not a God who tempts and leaves us as a bad father. When we're tempted, he's aware, he's watching, and there's a way of escape. So that day, Griselda was my way of escape. And I wish I could stand before you now and say, I took it. I didn't. I didn't want to share this, but I believe Holy Spirit wanted me to share this. And I will go back to that story later, because in the end, God had his way really powerfully. So just concluding, that week when I was on vacation, I would drink the non-alcoholic beer and I said, man, this taste is really good. I let it persist. And then just as a confession, I've confessed this already, Pastor Lynn, we were waiting for pizza one day in a place that we had never been before, and it was going to take a half an hour to 45 minutes. And I'm like, man, remember, Matthew, you love beer with pizza. You really love beer with pizza. Pizza's like one of my favorite food. I've been staying off carbs, but man, it's vacation. I'm going to have some good pizza. I like New York-style greasy pizza you can fold. And a memory of mine and enjoyment was pairing beer with that. And we're going to wait 45 minutes. We have a 3 and a 7-year-old. And I just go up to the front and I said, do you have any non-alcoholic beer? And the guy's like, no. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I compromised. And I'm just sharing this before you. As I've shared before others, but I'm sharing before you, and I believe God's going to use this, is I compromised my integrity. And I ended up getting a beer. And I'm going to put it bluntly. The idol was now back in my life. If I'm being honest before the Lord and what I did, the idol was back in my life. We're going to be talking about idolatry today, but man, even after walking with the Father, I was saved at 5, Jesus became Lord of my life at 13, baptized in the Holy Spirit at 27, so you could say I'm 40 years old, 35 years of walking with the Lord in one form or another, but since God, Father shared his love with me, it's pretty much been constant. Obviously, I fall back, I sin, but he is my Father. I'm his son. I love him, and I don't want to do anything that is outside of his holiness and his standard in the word. As you know, I love the word of God, and I know idolatry's wrong. But yet after all this long, I'm still tempted with idolatry. And I feel like you need to hear that today. One, to say, oh, I guess I'm not the only one. Okay? We need to bring things to light. So part of, I believe, preaching isn't just sharing, kind of rubbing you on the shoulder so you feel good. We got to get real. And I believe there might be many here struggling with some kind of secret idolatry. And I just want to declare under the fire and boldness of the Lord that that's going to be laid at the altar today, and you're going to be set free today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For this is not a house of shame, this is a house of love. And Father is here today, and he loves you. What is an idol? Because it's kind of a term we don't use a lot. It's kind of a bygone term. We don't, you know, the only time we hear it is like American Idol, but it's worshiping the singer in the entertainment, right? But we don't really deal with idols per se, or do we? Idolatry is something or someone that becomes more important to us than God. Let me say it again. At its very core, it's something or someone that becomes more important to us than God. It is anything that takes the place of God in your heart. In your heart, all your affection was meant for Jesus. So that even when you're enjoying the things of life, it's Jesus. It's with Jesus. It's from Jesus. You give thanks to Jesus. Amen? It is anything you value above your value for God and for Jesus. Pastor Lynn has often said this in the 10 years I've been here, both privately and from the pulpit, and I believe he got this from another pastor. An idol is anything you have to check with first before doing what you know you need to do. Here's obedience, here's surrender. Wait a minute. I got to go check with my idol. I got to go check with what matters to me. It's something that diminishes your affection for Jesus or even takes it all away. That's the power of an idol. It can take all your affection away from Jesus if you go down that route long enough. Idolatry at a fundamental level is the misdirection of our worship. You're still worshiping. You can worship beer. You can worship sex. You can worship image. You can worship work success. It's a fundamentally a misdirection of our worship. But here's the sad truth. Idolatry always leads to emptiness. Idolatry always leads to emptiness and separation from life. Idolatry never gives you life. It may feel that way, and you may go down that path having a degree of satisfaction and pleasure, but eventually it cuts you off from the life of God. God's not cutting himself off from you, but if you choose idolatry, he can't compromise his holiness, so you're cut off from life. Okay? And I believe idolatry is not only rampant in our consumeristic, sex-filled American culture, but rampant at times in our churches. Luring us away from the fullness of life that the Father has for us in Christ Jesus. And I feel like God wants to rip off the Band-Aid this morning, get the snake out of the closet this morning. And I believe that's why he had me open up and share what I'm going to share, what I shared earlier. Idolatry and the spirits attached with idolatry is a real way he goes after God's people. I'm not even talking about the world. They're not saved. They're already a target for the enemy and meddling with you. I'm talking the church now. I'm speaking to you guys, the church. And if there's someone who's not saved, you're going to get saved today. And Jesus, I believe there might be one or two today. That's what I felt like the Lord said, but you're going to be saved today. Jesus is going to save you. Okay, let's go to Exodus 20, 1 to 6. This is not my main text, but I have to set up this whole thing of idolatry. How many know what Exodus 20 is? Genevieve. Wow, good job. Let's give a clap to that. Yeah. Having a head knowledge of where things at is not what I'm concerned about, but it's getting the word in us. So I love that she knew where that's at because it's a part of her mind and who she is. Awesome, Genevieve. Okay, 10 commandments. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's our past. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth below and that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Jealous God. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay, this is one of just the most staple passages that God begins to show his ways and his warnings to his people, that idolatry and having other gods and then making things that we begin to serve, man-made things, things in the earth that we... Now, you may hear this and you go, Matthew, I'm not worshiping some kind of weird statue or a golden calf like the Israelites did in ancient bygone times of the past. But I want to propose that idolatry is still a big threat here to the 21st century church. The 21st century church that I think idolatry is a lot more rampant than we realize, and it's something we often don't want to talk about. We may talk about our sins, and man, I confess that I kind of messed up there. But our idolatries, there's almost an entitlement in America where even as a Christian, I can keep that thing going and tell no one. Now, I'm not going to say this is why the last couple years and even this week pastors are falling, but it could affect that, is idolatry, okay? So let me give some examples here just in case we want to count ourselves out. Social media. who here is on social media of some form? Yeah, I'm going to go there. Now, as I go through this list, let me say this. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me say this. All these things are good in and of themselves. Meaning, in moderation, with the hearts right, they're good things. Just like alcohol. I cannot show you in Scripture every form of alcohol or anything is a sin. I can't say that. Are there a lot of warnings? You bet. Hundreds of warnings, actually. Maybe like 150, 168 or something. Pastor Lynn has looked that up. But in itself, I can't say it's an evil thing. Okay? Social media, great technology. It's used for God all the time. But is there a point where we post something and we begin checking our phones? How many likes did I get? Come on, I'm going there. I only got 5 likes and we're crumble. Or I got 80 likes. I'm feeling so good. That was what I said was so good, or what I displayed, that picture or whatever. And I'm just feeling really good about myself. And we start to, even in small measure, maybe in large, let's just say small measure, find our self-worth. And I feel like this really plagues our teenagers and those in their 20s, but it can affect all generations. I start to find my worth in how many likes I have in my social media presence. How many friends do I have on Facebook? I don't know if any of you have gotten caught up in that. Or on Facebook, you start to meddle in other people's families and maybe old flings from high school. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you, but you do it anyway, right? I think social media, TikTok, all that can be a trap towards idolatry. It's a trap door. Now, can it be used for good if the heart's right? Amen. Facebook is a great gift. It connects people. People share Jesus on Facebook. I am not saying it's bad, but be careful. Okay. Entertainment. Are we an entertainment culture? I mean, come on. We are a Netflix, YouTube culture. Netflix, you know, one of the big popular things are shows. There's different shows on there. And they design these shows in such a way. Now, sometimes the content is just plain bad. I mean, it's just evil. There's heavy sexual stuff, heavy violence, whatever. But even if it's not bad, what happens? You find yourself going, oh, I got to watch the next episode. Oh, no, I got to watch this. I mean, they hook you, right? There's that cliffhanger at the end. And part of that's just good entertainment. That person designed that well. But then you start binging and you're like, it's been a week. When's the last time I binged on worshiping Jesus? When have I just laid in his presence for 2 or 3 hours? I didn't have time because I spent 18 hours on Netflix. Come on. There are times, as a family, we had to cancel our Netflix account. It seems like something we do every 6 months or a year. What? Is it canceled now? I don't even know. It's canceled. I have canceled my Facebook account multiple times in 12, 14 years because I want him more than the idolatry. I want him. It's not worth it. But it's a good tool. It's only 5% alcohol. Come on. Consumerism. I'm going to go there. Wonderful that we're blessed and we have paychecks and we are in a blessed nation to go and buy. And the fact that I can go to Winco, I can go to Albertsons, I can go to Freddy's, I can go to Costco. We have options. That's a good thing. I'm thankful for capitalism. Who here is thankful for capitalism? But when we start buying and we're consumed with how much we can get the latest, I gotta have the latest clothes, I gotta have the latest vehicle, I gotta have the latest boat, I got whatever it is. Again, good gifts, don't hear condemnation, but I want to expose how idols are real today. Consumerism, behind consumerism, can be the trap door of an idol. Because we become a slave to buying things, but when's the last time are we giving unto the Lord first and foremost, tithe? And then when's the last time we were generous with our funds? Usually the generosity goes down when we're consumed with things. Or we might actually give out of a sense of guilt. We're not actually giving out of generosity. We just feel so guilty because we spend on ourselves all day long. Come on. Physical appearance can become an idol. Whoa. Physical appearance. And let me just go there, not just for the women here. Guys, how often we, and even in our culture, as guys, as men, who you think wouldn't care so much, care about what's my weight? How do I look? How am I dressed? Do I look buff? Do I look good? And again, an idol, let me back up. I didn't clarify this. Where do we spend our time, money, and what do we think about most? That might be an idol. So how do you detect an idol? I should have said that, but I'm going to say it now. It's not these things are bad. I believe through the work of Jesus Christ, even in Isaiah, it says the whole earth is filled with his glory. Everything I've mentioned in and itself is a glorious gift. Okay? But when it begins to take our affection off of Jesus and we stop seeing Jesus, thinking of him, and that thing starts to take more and more of our affection, you probably got an idol in the works. Okay? Work success. I'm going to go there. Work success. I am so glad we are in a we're such a driven society. When I did sales, Verizon sales for 6 years, and we would get leadership training. There was books that were recommended on how to sell well and be the best leader salesman you could be. And I ate up a lot of that, and I loved it, right? But we had this program called Microsoft Power BI. I was just talking with Paul Redman. I don't think he's here right now, but and it would rank me and the other 25 business sales managers nationally, and we got it down to every 20 minutes you could refresh and know exactly where you stood nationally on your cell phone. And if you were it would go from light blue at the bottom, you're basically a baby, light blue, you're not doing well sales-wise. But as it went up, it got darker and darker. And if you were like that dark, deep, royal blue at the top, you were number one. There was a spectrum of blue. And Tessa knows I did this. I'd be at a family event, or we'd have family time. I gotta go to the bathroom. I'd hit that refresh button. I'm in third, baby. Woo! Now, a little competition and work success is not bad. But you know how many times a day I did that at one point? I don't even tell you. I'm not even gonna tell you. And baby, when I was darker blue, I felt I'm the man. I felt good. I was like, yeah. But the amount of time I'd be refresh. Oh, I'm getting higher. Oh, shoot, I'm dropping. Oh, that dang guy in Eastern Idaho is beating me. I'm being honest here. It became an idol. I mean, literally to where my face, that's a whole nother thing. I won't even go there with cell phones, but not only was I staring at my cell phone too much, I'm staring at a ranker that tells me how valued I am in the company. I did it way too much at times. And that's where it's like, Jesus, I want you over this ranker. Because how you see me is eternal. How these men see me is fleeting. How my boss's boss's boss sees me feels good, but it lasts a moment. And then I got to do it again. I got to do it again. See, you not only get ensnared by an idol, you become a slave to the idol. There's a progression here. You dabble with it, then you dance with it, then you're chained by it. You dabble with it, then you dance with it, then you're in prison to it. I feel like the Lord just gave me that. Yes, Jesus, thank you. There's the trap door, the sin, the fruit, we dabble with it. We just playing with it. I'm just having 0.5% non-alcoholic beer. Come on. Dabbling with it. But then I dance with a full-on beer on tap. Then I'm buying it in cases at home. Then I'm drinking when no one's around. Then I'm not telling people I'm drinking alone, and then I'm hiding it. I'm a slave at that point because I'm in the dark. Come on. And let's give a clap. That's Jesus, he's exposing things. And if you've known me, you know my heart is not condemnation. This is not a message I naturally want to give. I didn't want to share what I just shared at the beginning. I don't want to call this out. But I do if it means you're going to be free in Jesus. He has promises he's not withholding. We're withholding because we're holding on to something else. And Pastor Lynn, his whole thing on promises, that's where we're headed. So trust me, there's good news coming, but a little more bad news, okay? Come on, the good news is so much sweeter when we are honest with the bad that we deal with, right? The gospel's so good because things were so bad. That's right. Come on. Okay. We are a charismatic church. Praise God. Are you glad we are a charismatic church? I love the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, healings, deliverances, miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen? But can I say this? One of the ways, he might not be able to tempt us towards hardcore legalism here. That's possible. It's probably pretty hard. But the enemy could tempt us towards, I want the manifestation, not the man. It's not a good service unless I fall out. Yeah, I'm going there. How many people got healed? More got healed at this church. I'm switching charismatic churches. Now, if the Holy Spirit's leading you and you feel like the true more of God is there, praise God. I'm not trying to condemn that. I'm saying if the heart motive is you're not chasing Jesus or following him, you're going after manifestations, that is idolatry. Because the person who's silent, who God touches their heart and they never move, can be closer and have a greater God encounter than the person who's flopping on the floor. God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. That's why 0.5% mattered, because he knew my heart in it. I quickly make it an idol. I want it. He sees my heart. And by the way, he sees your heart. So he's not going after condemning or beating you today, but he's going after your heart. Oh, he's coming full train after your heart today. Full locomotive, because he loves you. He poured out a lot of blood. And one of the things he died for that God was just reminding me this morning in a deep way, thank you for breaking the bread of your body. Thank you for spilling the wine. How I substitute the wine of his blood for earthly wine. But he poured out his blood so that you would be set free of idolatry. Because no other, I'm just going to list some others and we're going to move on to the word and see what God has to say about this, because I believe he's got awesome things for us. Control insecurity, hobbies, sex in all of its forms, romantic love, romance, romance novels, romance, comfort, family even, and children. That one's like, what do you mean? Well, we got so many family functions, we're not going to go to church for months. We don't need to. We got to focus on the family. Now, obviously, there's a priority scale. It's first to God, next to my wife, then to my children, then I'm a pastor. So there is a priority scale. But when we start focusing so much on our wife and our kids to where we put God time aside, worship aside, fellowship with the believers, there might be an idol. Just go in there. Okay, here we go. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 through 7, 1. This is the main text. This text has been on my heart for a while, and I believe Paul, through the Spirit, just listen to what God has, because I believe he's going to be speaking directly to many of you here. Quick thing, as you look at the New Testament churches, I'm not going to say it's a perfect fit, but if you had to compare Valley Church to a church, maybe we're like the Corinthians. Why do I say that? Now, it's not a perfect match. You could see us in other books, but Corinthians were all about the manifestation of the Spirit. They were all about the gifts of the Spirit. He talks more about tongues in 1 Corinthians. He talks more about prophecy in 1 Corinthians, right? So maybe let's not just put the Corinthians aside and say, maybe he's speaking to me, us as a church, and to me here, okay? So this is Paul. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak to you as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then the conclusion of it all, chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, say promises. Beloved, say beloved. Let us, that means you're the object of his affection. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. We could just close in prayer right now, because I think that was all pretty straightforward. But I want to unpack a couple things just so you're fed and encouraged. First off, let's go back to verse 11. And Jason, I'm just going to work through verses here. So starting with verse 11 systematically here. I love how Paul always wrote from a place of tender affection and openness. Have you ever noticed that? I just appreciate that about Paul. Next time you read a Pauline letter, just think, where was his heart at? How loving was he? And you'll start to see it and feel it. And it's like, man, as a preacher, teacher, and minister of God, that's where I want to be. I want to be open, real, and heart to heart, nothing hidden. Just here's who I am, take it or leave it. I love you. Let's talk openly. Let's get real. So I charge you today, even right now, if you haven't already, open your affections to God. He wants your heart, okay? So let's move on to the next verse. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, this whole passage right here. Paul wouldn't have addressed these compromises if he didn't know it was happening in the Corinthian church, okay? Or at least that they were strongly tempted by it and some were being taken out. Does that make sense what I'm saying here? So like, you can't mix oil and water. I mean, I'm using modern terms here. You can't mix oil and water. You try to mix them, they're not going to mix. Likewise, you can't mix lawlessness and righteousness, light and darkness, Christ and Belial, or you could just say other translations, the Passion puts it great, Christ and demons. You can't combine Christ and demons. Now, you can try, but it's not the state which God, that's not a state of holiness. God doesn't want you riddled with the demonic. That's not his will for you. But is it possible? And is that the case possibly here in this room right now? Yes. But there's freedom for you. There's freedom for you. Okay? Let me put it in modern language here, because he says you are God's temple. You are the home and worship center of God Almighty. You are his home, but you are the worship center of God. Let that sink in. I'm going to say it again. God's worship center isn't 2900 Lifeway. Now, we are a gathered worship center in a very real sense. But if we're speaking biblically, the emphasis is on Travis, you are the worship center of God. You are his temple. And he's holy. John Emery, you are the worship center of God, and he is holy. Jack, you are the worship center of God, and he is holy. I feel like that needs to hit us strong, because we can go, yay, I'm the God's temple. Do we know what we're saying when we say that? The same God in Isaiah 6 that the train of his robe filled the temple, and the angels were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty is in you." The holy God that armies were taken out by. Israel, 30,000 died under judgment, is in you. And don't think he's still not the same God, because even that judgment he executed in truth and grace. Okay? He's holy when he brings that kind of judgment. He's holy on the cross. He's holy when he's embracing you. He's holy through and through. Okay? You aren't the temple of dead and lifeless idols, but of the living God. Let me say it again. You aren't the temple of dead and lifeless idols, but of the living God. Of the living God. There are many gods in this world, Hindu gods. You could take all the religions of the world. There are many, many gods that are named. There are many, many idols in our society. But there's only one living God in the whole world. Anytime you see living God, Old Testament or New Testament, what that means is he's living compared to lifeless idols. So it's almost an indirect way of talking about idols. It's the contrast. Idolatry, Facebook, consumerism, Netflix, sales success, alcohol, drugs, idol, or the living God. Or the living God. Life, death. Light, darkness. Fear from hell, fear of the Lord. Some of you are trying to toe the line. Idol, Jesus. Be careful because you might get ripped apart. Okay? Whoa. Okay, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 16, I'm moving along here. We're doing good on time. Paul then appeals to some of the greatest promises in the Old Testament. So he just talked about, you know, you are his temple. He talked about, man, you can't mix these things. And now these are some of the greatest promises. I won't go back to the Old Testament. You can study later. But he is gathering up, in some ways, the greatest promises of the Old Testament. Some of the greatest. I would say at the top of the list. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. This is God's promise throughout the whole Old Testament of intimacy and closeness. His greatest promise is his presence. Did you know that? There's many promises, and I love how Pastor Lynn was just going through Psalm 103. But the promise is him. He is the, capital THEPROMISE. He is the great, his presence is the great promise. And that's a whole biblical study I won't go into, but the Holy Spirit is the culmination of the promises of God. You can literally, it's like, oh, I will bless all nations. All this blessing that's coming, it's this buildup through the seed, through Jesus. You know that all comes down to you being the temple of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? For his presence, that is the blessing, okay? Verse 17, but there's a condition to this. There's a condition. Verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Come out, be separate, don't touch. Pretty simple. Come out, be separate from that, don't touch. And I want to emphasize idols right now, okay? But to enjoy the promise of his presence, he won't compromise his holiness. He won't compromise his holiness. Aren't you glad he won't compromise his holiness? Do you want a tainted God, like many of the gods of other religions, who do evil and horrible things, and then they do maybe some good things? He's not mixture. He's pure through and through. I love how Pastor Lynn was saying purity right at the end of his blessing there. I was like, spot on. He's a pure God. When we say he's faithful, that means faithful intentions all the way through. Not just a faithful, like He shows up and he gets everything done. You know, you can say someone's faithful on the job, but they may not have the best motives. He's faithful in the actions, but all the way back through every motive. Faithful in the actions all the way, and that can't be said of anyone other than Jesus Christ, okay? When we can't meddle in the lawlessness, demons, and idolatry and expect to experience the blessing of his promises. That's a theme. God is speaking today. I'm just going to be bold. Faithfulness of God, he's speaking. His many benefits and promises, he is speaking. He is offering. But now he's giving the conditions and he's exposing what's keeping you back from the promise of God. Oh, I just don't feel him, guys. I'm going to go there. And again, I'm trying to be sympathetic and compassionate here, but I have at times people come to me pastorally and I feel like the Lord's like, Matthew, you've been too soft at times because they've come to you and they don't feel God and you pray for them and they maybe feel a little bit, but they go back into the darkness. They're not feeling him because there's compromise. And I'm doing you a disservice if I just lay my hands and go, oh, everything's all well. I need to ask by the Spirit of God, and there's no formula here, is there anything you need to lay before Jesus that's probably coming between you and him? I want that to be a greater question, a more prominent question in how I love and minister to people. And I'm being really honest right now. I don't always bring that up. Now, you got to follow the Holy Spirit, but it probably needs to be on the table more than I allow it. Now, that's uncomfortable what I just said, but I don't call you to something that, I mean, Pastor Lynn, we know. I mean, if there's sin, I talk about it with him, okay? We need that. We need that. It's healthy. We all need accountability, and we need, it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed, James 5:16. There is a time that you need to confess it to someone who makes you feel uncomfortable to share it, because that's when you really rip your clothes off. You know what I'm saying by rip your clothes off. Coming out of the closet. Okay, let's go to, verse 18. I think verse 18. Yeah, here we go. Now, notice the, verse 17. What is 17? Yes, and I will receive you. I will receive you. The Greek means to pull to one's heart in a heartfelt way. I looked up receive. I was at the splash pad with Ariana the other day. This hot weather, it's so fun to go to a splash pad. I was in the splash pad with her getting all wet. It was fun. I was the only dad there, and I'm not super tan, super white guy. I don't care, you know? I'm just going to have fun. They're like, stop! I can't see. Blinded by the light. No. And so, if you know Ari, Riley, this daughter, she would jump in the fountain. She'd drink it. She blah. We were at the ocean. She went in and actually made Tessa feel very uncomfortable because how many know the Washington coast isn't just, ooh, it's like undertow, cold, frigid. That's Riley. Ari, on the other hand, is like, that's a nice fountain. Oh, yay. And she's 20 feet away. And I'm like trying to encourage her, like, get in. But there was a point where she didn't feel safe. And she said, Daddy. That's what the Greek here is. I will receive you. And I picked her up and everything was good from there on out. She wasn't afraid. He wants to pull you to his heart in a heartfelt way. Okay? And then let's go to verse 18. Notice his resolve now. We don't have a passive father. I will be a father to you. Notice the resolve. I will, the will of God, be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I love the contrast in this passage. Deep holiness and deep affection. Guess what? The two go together. It's bad theology and life experience that separates them. If you're wounded, you don't see God right. If you had a tyrant, you don't see God right. But the truth is, he is perfectly loving in his holiness, and he's perfectly holy in his loving, in his lovingness. Let me say it again. He's perfectly holy in his love, and he's perfectly loving in his holiness. They're not separate. Why am I saying this? How we view God is how we act. How we view God is how we serve. How we view God is what we believe, because you're image bearers. And I want to set the record straight. He's fully holy, fully loving. Not one without the other. Okay? And that's a staple of our what we believe here at Valley that not everyone believes. Not every church believes. They overemphasize one or the other. And I praise God, Jesus, keep us emphasizing both as leaders. We don't want to compromise one for the one. I don't want to compromise, because a father's heart, he's not holy. But get so strict on holiness, you never feel loved. Word and spirit, we have to balance that. Holiness and the love of God overlap in perfect unity. Okay. Now, this is the charge to all of you, and this is the good news, guys. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And guess what? He just mentioned a few promises, but how many know there's hundreds, thousands of promises in the scriptures? This is his exhortation. Cleanse ourselves from all. I want you to say all. Say it again, all. Say it one more time. Did he say partial? And that word perfect, don't think perfectionism. Think complete the cleansing. He doesn't want a 72% cleansing. He wants 100% cleansing. This is key, guys. You went back into idolatry because you did a 72% cleanse, not a 100% cleanse. Yep. I love you guys so much. I want to hug all of you after the sermon. I don't like punching people. No. But if the word doesn't break us and transform us, what are we doing? We're just tickling our ears. Okay? This word is the word that breaks and it builds. I'm glad it breaks because sometimes you can't build right unless you're broken. It's a hammer, it says. Okay, God is not content with partial repentance, partial confession, and partial deliverance. He wants total confession, total repentance, and total deliverance. He doesn't want you delivered of two demons when you have six. Mary Magdalene had seven demons, all came out. Because he's a holy God. He doesn't want one left in you. And yes, I believe a Christian can be oppressed. That was shared openly this morning. And I'm just going to declare one or more of you is going to get delivered of demons today. And there's no shame in that. There's freedom in that. He's still the God who delivers. Glory to God. And why do we do all this? Why do we cleanse ourselves? In the fear of the Lord. In the fear of God. Again, before we can enjoy the lovey-dovey, there has to first be a fear of the Lord. So here's another way of saying it. Last week, Pastor Lynn, and again, quick side, I have a teacher mindset. That's one thing. I let God teach me, and I love to teach. So even when I'm preaching, I don't want to just preach. I want to teach. That's my heartbeat, just so you know. I'm being open with you guys. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let me add to that. Yeah, I'm adding to Scripture, but in light of Scripture. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge of his love. I want to know his love. Okay, fear him and have an awe and respect and humility as you come into his presence. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of the knowledge of his love. Hopefully that connects the two for you. Okay, God has a life, and I just want to sum up this whole passage. If you remember nothing, remember this. What's God's charge to each of us today, starting with me? Let it go and receive the blessing of his promises. Let it go and receive the blessing of his promises. Let it go and receive the blessing of his promises. God has a life of blessing for us as his sons and daughters, not one of discontentment and emptiness. If you feel empty and discontent, maybe an idol's involved. But sin and idols will not satisfy. Only he will satisfy. And he wants us to know and experience the fulfillment and joy of his blessings, starting with the blessing of his presence, and then his hundreds and thousands of blessings. Did you know there are hundreds and thousands of blessings? And earlier in this letter, he says, everyone is yes and amen in Jesus. Meaning, the money's in the bank. Come out, be separate, and receive it. The money is in the bank for all of his promises because the finished works of Jesus Christ. There is not one promise that's already not complete. So what's my part in it? Assuming I've repented and there's no sin, amen. We resound the amen, and then God begins to release it because he's backing up his faithfulness, not yours. That's a whole nother sermon. Okay. Jesus, help me keep one sermon. Let it go and receive the blessing of his promises. All of his promises lead to blessing. Let it go and receive his promises. So I got three quick steps of evaluation, and we're going to watch a video here in a little bit that I believe sums it all up. I think you'll enjoy this. What promises has the Father made to you that you aren't currently experiencing? What promises has he made, prophetic words, promises in his word, and you're like, I'm not experiencing them? To put it another way, do you feel a lack of closeness to the Father and his blessings and favor in your life compared to a time in the near or possibly distant past? What's the next step? Come clean with the idols in your life. We may try to hide our idols, but God knows they are there and sees them. So you're wondering what's in here. I found this. It has a nice ring. It's like a super loud ring, but anyway, that's totally distraction. But this is, I was walking around the church and my wedding ring was hitting it and it was resounding. I'm like, that is incredible. But, and this is a pretty big idol. You know, maybe it started pretty small, but it got pretty big. And what's interesting is it's silver, or, you know, you can see your reflection. The thing you begin to worship, you begin to look like. Did you know that? And if I keep staring at this thing, I'm going to start looking like it. And I don't want to look like those things. I want to look like Jesus. What idols do you have that you need to lay at the altar today? Because this thing is just clunky and it's not living. And as much as I drink from it, massage it, it's never going to satisfy. It's not going to satisfy. But God wants us to lay it at the altar. To lay it at the altar. Social media, sexual perversion, consumerism, entertainment, alcohol, physical appearance. What is your idol? Now, many of you here I know are clean. You're good. You don't. But I believe God's speaking to some of you. Or he wouldn't have had me preach this. Because he loves you. Number three, how do we come clean? Or how do we come clean on this? Number two, this is part of number two. We confess. Just say, God, yeah, I went to alcohol and I shouldn't have. We forgive. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. There is that word again. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all impurity. So first we confess. Some of you like steps. You're like, how do I go about this? It's not about steps, but if you need steps, here are the steps. We confess it. God, I come clean. I receive your forgiveness. I shouldn't have bought that alcohol that day, which led to me having a real beer with alcohol. I receive your forgiveness. And then we renounce. Renounce is, I cut all ties with that sin. This is an important step we failed to do, and I know I got a yeah from Bev, who does deliverance and breakthrough ministry, and she knows the power of renouncing. She sees it day in and day out. I confess, I receive his forgiveness, and then I say, I break all ties with any spirit associated with alcohol. I will not buy it. I will not have it in my house. I renounce you. It's such a powerful statement. It's almost like you could say, now you don't have to use these terms, I divorce myself from you. Done. If that helps you, use it. I think you can use it, right? Okay. Finally, we're not done. You got to repent. Repent is a change of mind that always results in a change of decision and action. I'm no longer going to buy alcohol. I turn to you so that I might get filled with the Spirit instead of going with alcohol. I want to get drunk on the Spirit, God, not drunk on the spirits of the world. We repent. You can confess, receive his forgiveness, renounce, but you never repented, so you go right back in it. You never turn in another direction. We don't overcome evil with evil. We need a good to overcome evil. What's the good? What's the opposite spirit? Okay. Again, let go and receive the blessings of God. He is not withholding his promises. He's on the brink of blessing you. He's on the brink. He's on the brink of embracing you. He's on the brink of holding you to his heart. He's on the brink of healing your body. He's on the brink of every blessing being yes and amen, financial breakthrough, but he won't compromise his holiness. You can't hold on to him and hold on to idols. Can't, okay? I have a clip, but I want to just set it up, Jason, really quick. How many of you guys like Indiana Jones? I've been an Indiana Jones fan since I was a kid. And as you guys know me, I've shared this many times. I love to watch films with Jesus and ask, how does this reflect scripture? Even if Steven Spielberg didn't know what he was doing, you know what you were doing. Now, he's a very good director. And sometimes I think he does know what he's doing when it comes to the Bible. This is my favorite scene of all five Indiana Jones. It's at the end of The Last Crusade. It's the third one. And Harrison Ford plays Indiana Jones, an archaeologist who's all about adventure. But this one has his dad, Henry Jones, played by Sean Connery. And they banter throughout the whole film, and it's just funny and amazing, okay? You're gonna see a woman here, her name is Elsa, and she represents seduction, idolatry, and deceit throughout the whole movie. The demonic realm, very, very much. This is the end, and they have the grail, but the guy who gave them the grail says, don't bring it past the seal on the ground. If you do, destruction will come. And that's it. That's enough setup. Why don't we just go to this clip here? It's just 2 minutes, really quick here.
We have got it. Come on.
Elsa. Elsa, don't move.
It's ours, Indy. Yours and mine.
Elsa, don't cross the seal. The knight warned us not to take the grail from here. Elsa, don't, Elsa. Elsa, give me your other hand, honey. I can't hold you.
I can reach it.
Elsa, give me your hand. Give me your other hand. Elsa! Give me your other hand. I can't hold on.
I can get it. I can almost reach it, Dad.
Indiana. Indiana. Let it go.
Yeah. If you didn't hear everything I said, the clip says it all. The clip says it all. Elsa, I looked it up this morning, never looked it up, means God's promise. That white, that blonde-haired woman who's the seductress the whole time, she's the counterfeit to the promise of God. That's what an idol is. She ends up following her demise, and if you follow the idol, you might fall in a pit to your demise. And myself and none of us are above that. I'm not above that. If you give into an idol long enough, it might just swallow you into a deep abyss. Now, Indiana Jones gets caught up in the same demonic spirit after she falls to her death, because he wasn't really tempted with it up until this point. But as soon as he gets down there, the whole movie, he's been calling him Junior, Junior, and Indiana Jones hates it. And finally, he gets really endearing, and Sean Connery says, Indiana, let it go. Indiana, let it go. And he's calling you by name this morning in deep affection and saying, son or daughter, let it go. Let it go. Let it go, Indiana. Let it go. I confessed my alcohol thing to my wife, my kid, well, first to the Lord, then to my kids. And just said, hey, you know, I want to be a man of integrity. Maybe other houses can drink. I can't. We can't. Sorry. Do you forgive me? You know? And I had that conversation. But it wasn't enough. God told me you need to tell Pastor Lynn. I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to. Wednesday, he calls me. I didn't want to. Wednesday, he calls me. He's like, hey, maybe you'll preach this Sunday. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. You know what? Now he's probably laughing because he's getting the backstory more. The next day, but we didn't decide on it. And I said, the next day, Thursday, if he says I can't preach and, you know, not in a beating me with a whip, but just, hey, pull back. Maybe your temperature isn't right. He's done that before. That's okay. I've learned to be okay with that. I wasn't always okay with that. I'm okay with that. I tell him, and Pastor Lynn can vouch for this, as soon as I confessed it to him, we began to feel the weighty glory of God. I can't even, I barely talk about it. Power. I felt his power, not just his love. I felt his power going through my legs. And that desk, that became the Holy of Holies. Because he's the temple, I'm the temple. And his promises came back even stronger force. So if you're like, I don't want to repent, it's too exposing. Do you want his presence? Because the moment I confessed to him, which was the completion of cleansing myself, his presence filled me. And I said, God, for a couple weeks, I've felt you, but not your power. I haven't felt your power like that. I don't want to give up his presence and power for a stupid idol. It ain't worth it for a beer with my pizza. I can't even say it. I'm so frustrated. I want him. It ain't worth it, people. His presence is so much better. His presence is so... I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up, and I would ask that they would keep the altar open, because I believe some are going to come to this altar. You're not coming to Pastor Matthew, and per se, we have a prayer line. Please come if you need to, but I want the prayer line to come up. They are prayed up. And I want to just say today, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, and meaning, do you really know him? Do you have relationship with him? Have you repented of your sins? Have you asked for his forgiveness? And have you asked Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior? I don't want to assume everyone has here. I feel like there might be one or two. And I want you to encourage you to come up. Each one has been trained to lead you in salvation, because none of this applies unless you're saved. But as soon as you receive Jesus, all of this applies. And he loves you so much. And the other, as an altar call today, the Father is calling. He has pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. His own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Blessings all yours with 10,000 beside. And I want to say, if you need to repent of an idol, you either come up here. If you feel like you need, I say, follow the Holy Spirit. Don't follow me. I'm not going to tell you what to do. If the Holy Spirit's like, go up to this couple, go up to that couple, go up to that couple, my wife and I will be over there. And if you need deliverance from spirits, come over here. If you need deliverance from spirits, and because remember, we can't have demons and Christ, right? Now you can, but that's not God's normal for you. He wants to set you free this morning. If you need deliverance, my wife and I will be over here, and Tim and Bev are both pastorally blessed and trained to do that and to lead you in that if you need deliverance. But I say, come up to the altar. If it just needs to be between you and God, and I want you to do business with God. That's confession, forgiveness, renounce it and repent and lay it at the altar. Like this right now, this cup right here represents, leave it at the altar. And I want to encourage you to come on your knees, to come up here. If you're here and you need to let it go, you need to let go. And I feel like God wants to cleanse this house of idolatry, because he wants to fill us with the fullness of his presence. Like Pastor Lynn and I were feeling, that's not just for us in his office. We want that for all of you. That's why we do what we do. I know that's why he's pioneered with Supernatural School of Ministry and all that he's done. And people have left this church because he's made the presence a priority. And God wants that in your life. But you can't mix idols with presence. He's saying, okay, you choose. You choose. But I'm telling you, when I confessed and then I told him, the presence of God came on me so strong. I said, you're better than life itself. You're better than life itself. And I felt the reverberations of his power and glory. He wants to do that for you today. He's not withholding. but you got to come out. Be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you and baptize you in my Spirit, my love. So I want to encourage you to come up here, and everyone stand right now. Let's all stand. And just, you can start coming up, even if you're the first one. You can come here if you want no prayer from anyone. You just need to lay it at the altar. This has nothing to do with anyone else praying for you. But if you need prayer, we have people here. Again, deliverance over here. If you need salvation, you can go to anyone here if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. And I want to end with a blessing for all of you. You will be dismissed right after this blessing. Enjoy your day. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you want to linger here in the sanctuary, because this really gripped your heart, linger. We've seen people linger for an hour or more because they're like, God, I need to be with you. I don't want to go on to Costco. I don't want to go on with my day until you have touched me. So 1 Thessalonians 5, receive this as a blessing. This is for everyone. God dropped this in my heart during worship. This is for each one of you. And I'm going to just do this as a blessing. So receive. Close your eyes, open your hands, raise them if you want. Now may the God of peace, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.